If you would turn to Luke chapter 19, the title of this message is called Occupy. Luke 19, verse 13. Are you guys ready to start going deeper? Yeah? I heard Nolan say yeah. Okay. We are now going to go from kid stuff to adult stuff in the kingdom. Amen? Luke 19, verses 11 through 13. And now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, occupy till I come. Some translations say, do business as I come. In this parable, this is a prophetic parable that the Lord, we all know, he left, he's coming again, and he has given to his disciples. Here it calls 10, and we know now, after last week's little spot quiz, that one is God. Two, fellowship or witness. Three, the Trinity. Or family. Three. Oh, four. So I can't count. Four corners of the earth. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. And ten. Earthly government. Right. 11. 12. Right. So what we can take from this parable is that there is a government amongst men, and that Jesus expects his people to do business, to occupy. And we know that for 2,000 years, the church has been doing this for a various amount of ins and outs. The purpose is to preach the gospel to all the nations, right? But now, I really think that the church, and especially Streams, needs to understand the purposes of God in why the Great Commission, so that we can understand how we can do our part in fulfilling the great destiny that he has for us. We also want to maintain an understanding as you look at this parable, that there are rewards coming. And those rewards are to those who are faithful. He called the first fella, gave him 10 minas, whatever. He gave him some coin, and he doubled it. Another one, he got 5, and the third one hit it because he was afraid of God. And I'm not going to talk about what these guys did, because what the Spirit of God has laid upon my heart is for us to understand that you are successful already. You don't believe it, but the Word of God says that you're successful, because there's no failure in our God. He can't fail, and if you're in Jesus Christ, neither can you. God never fails. So what does this word occupy have to do, or do business with the church? Occupy, or to do business, means to trade, to swap things, to be able to do things. But occupy also has another meaning. It is a militaristic meaning. And this is what Jesus was trying to get his people to understand, that there is a militancy in the church that has to come forth. And this militancy to occupy means to conduct military operations for the sole purpose of expanding his kingdom. And if we can grab our minds around that and understand that my little Susie prayers and my little pity parties that I have, they don't have a place in the kingdom. They did when we were infantile, but now God wants us to grow up. How are you going to occupy if you don't know what you're to occupy, or why you occupy, or how to occupy? Right? We all know we go to church, and we all know we're supposed to get these frilly type of sermons that will make us feel good. But the bottom line is, when you come out of this message, you're not going to be feeling good. You're going to feel better than good, because you're going to, for the first time, understand. You're going to understand me and why I am so adamant and on fire for the things of God. You're going to understand where you have a place in this, and how it's important that when I say I need you, you're going to understand why I need you. Because God needs us all to function in the areas that He has. And I really believe that for too long, the Church of Jesus Christ has been dealing with a spirit of denominationalism, which is anti-kingdom. Or it has maintained a man's government of democracy coming into the church, which has no place in the body of Jesus Christ. I hate to break your thought patterns in this, but the truth of it is, we will operate under a kingdom, which means we have a king, we have delegated authorities, and in those delegated authorities are those given so that you can perform the tasks that are at hand. Amen? I know it's the afternoon, but gosh, lunch should not be making us tired. For us to expand the kingdom of God, we have a responsibility to tell the world about the love of Jesus Christ and His terms of surrender. And as we know right now, much of the church is at war with Jesus Christ, let alone the world, because there is this upheaval that is going on in the spirit, that there are saints and ain'ts within the body of Christ that God is slowly moving them away. I call it pruning. God has pruned individuals who don't want anything more of God than what they want of themselves. And it's a shame, because what they have is nothing compared to what God has for them. And so if we can begin to start grasping and getting our minds renewed and start chinking away and throwing away the denominational mindset or our old church habits, getting rid of the traditions that we have grown up in, we will be successful in what it is that God would have us to do. And so what we have to do is, first of all, understand what our marching orders are. We now understand what occupy is, right? It's a military position. We are a militaristic church, not a militant church, but a militaristic church that will begin to start assaulting, taking the land for the glory of God. Amen? That's what this is all about. This is not something where we have this good old time religion. This is something of far greater purposes than you or I could ever imagine. And hopefully today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can articulate this. Turn to Matthew, the 29th chapter, or 28th chapter, and we'll see what the King has said for us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are our marching orders. And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What is authority? What is authority? Right. The ability or the right to wage war. What is power? the ability to use our authority. Jesus said all authority or power and power has been given to him in heaven and in earth, correct? Where are you? You're in Christ. So who else has all power and authority? Amen. Each person who names the name of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? Go, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, as he's commanded us, and he will be with us always. Right? Whose job is that? The churches, right? All of ours. All right, you clearly understand what the King has stated to you all, that you all need to get to work. Amen? But Pastor, how do we do this? Well, let me explain some stuff here. In order for us to operate in this power and authority, we must first understand that we are no longer here in this physical realm. Okay? 2.5 years of teaching has brought us to a place where now what we're going to do is we're going to wet our fingers and we're going to stick it in the light socket so that power and authority flows through just me. Through the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head, we are the body. All of us having a function to deal with. But we all have power and authority to do the Great Commission, to do the working orders. Well, Pastor, I don't like talking to people. Take it up with him. Not about me, not about you. It's about what he wants. Well, I'll get around to it. You know, the other day my friend called me and I felt like I wanted to talk to him about this or that, but I really just didn't need to repent. You're in sin. You're disobeying the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk later on as this goes on deeper, how to recognize the voice of God and just move out in obedience. But right now, what I want you to begin to understand, to wrap your minds around, is the simplicity of this move of God and where we are. Yeah, we can have fun, and that's great. I hope this church breaks out of its doldrums. I hope this church breaks out of its duplicity and really breaks into the Spirit, really seeks the things of God. Not to sweat the small stuff. Yeah, we got little guys and all, but you know what? The Spirit of God is here. And he's going to take care of that. He's going to make sure that you don't miss a thing because he'll settle the spirits down. And all we have to do is remember how outrageous it was in the other building compared to now. We're in a good place. God has led us to a good place. And so now that we're in a good place, this place needs to get filled up. Amen. God has essentially delegated responsibility to the apostles, which there's no more apostles, right? That's right. They're still here. They are still here. That is the lie of the devil. That's not even Bible. I don't care if it's Ephesians or not. But we are to wage war. And as Gary has said, and you won't get me saying it too much, a spirit of confusion, and I have given them an assignment that God has shown me that we are dealing with a spirit that for the longest time I did not give credence to until recently, to the depth and magnitude that this spirit has not only in control in people's lives, but in our society and in the church itself. And that will be coming in the future. But he tells us to preach, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them to obey all things. What are the things that he's told you that you need to be doing that you haven't done that you need to repent of, get it under the blood, and then start doing it? Don't be, like James says, hearers of the word only, but be a doer. Immediately put into practice that which the word of God has told you to do. Why? It's hard, essentially, but if you are not a disciple, you can't disciple somebody. That's the truth. You have nothing to teach somebody. You have nothing to share with somebody. You don't even have anything to help baptize them. Why should they get baptized? You know? The Lord knows exactly what He's doing and how to build it. And He did not leave us to just try to figure this out. He didn't leave us His word and say, okay, Lou, I need you to figure this all out. And when you get it, then I'm going to move on to the next person. Nolan, I'm trying to get this through you. Buddy, just put this down, you know, and I'm going to give it to you through osmosis. And bang, I got two of you. That's not how He's going to operate. Turn to Ephesians 4:11. So we know what the word occupy means. We now understand that we have marching orders. We know that we are to be a militaristic church. Not militaristic in the sense of each other. Militaristic against what? Satan's kingdom, right? Against the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 4 says that He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some to be teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the purpose of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Paul is telling us here that Jesus is giving these individuals, and He tells us in verse 8 that He gave gifts unto men. When He ascended into heaven, He took all the captives out of hell, He ascended to heaven. When He ascended, He left some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, and some even to be apostles, of which you are some of those. Believe it or not, that is the truth. Some of you are. Not everybody is. I have two anointings on me right now, and one I'm trying to figure out, and the other one I'm releasing. The prophetic anointing and the pastoral anointing. I am a gift to you. If you do not receive a gift, you are missing the boat. You are devaluating yourself as to what God has for you to glean from the man of God. But I'm not going to toot my own horn, because maybe you don't understand how these fivefold ministry gifts, or ascension gifts is what we call them, flow. What the jobs of these guys are. No, what's the apostle's job? Oversee the church. Okay. What do you think, huh? Father's the church. Okay. What do you think, Gomez? Oh, you looked at my notes, huh? The apostle is to govern or set in order the church according to God's will. That's his job. Yeah, he's to father churches, and he's to oversee. He's to raise up elders. You know, that's only some of the functions that he does. He is to reveal the Father's heart to the church. He is not Lord and Master of the church. He is trying to bring a discipline into the church, bring order into the church, that everyone functions the same way. You know, what he's trying to do, at least in the house of God, is allow the Spirit to move in freedom. Because of our disciplines, we understand that freedom. And it's not what I used to call it was the crazy maniacs in the church. All kinds of weird stuff was going on, and God was in it, but I wondered how much of the flesh was in it too. But that's the job of the apostles, to bring that kind of order and set it into the church and discern the Spirit of God. How about the prophet? What's the prophet's job? The guide, right. Absolutely correct, Luke. I've got Tootsie Rolls here somewhere. He is to guide the church. He's to set God's will out for the church. He's not over there to beat up the church and make them submit to His will. He is to reveal the will of God to people, and then the Spirit of God is the one who's going to bring conviction to you or not to you. He works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and with the apostle to set the foundation orders of the church, according to Ephesians 2. Laying the foundation of Christ, the chief cornerstone. Okay? There's no other foundation. These two gift ministries go around and they spy out the land. They look to see where a church plan is to be. They go and they work with the church to help the church understand what its particular work is in a particular area. Do you not know that two churches could be in the same town and have different works? That is true. But that doesn't mean the two churches cannot work together in a way to fulfill the will of God. What is the evangelist's job? His job is to gather. He is to set those people who have come to a new relationship in Jesus Christ and put them into the church. That's all his job is. He could teach them, he could do it, but he has an anointing in which he has, well, I like to say the gift of gab, to talk people and reveal to them the heart of God. He is the one that's able to articulate in simplicity and clarity the will of God for unsaved people. That is his job. What about pastors? Guard. They're the shepherd, or grow up, guard, take care of. All those things. They are to oversee the flock and lead them to places where they can grow up and mature and reveal the heart of God to them and care for them with the heart of God. Teachers, what are they to do? They are to ground the people of God set the truth of God's word through training, through education, through bringing a clarity and an understanding to the will of God. And of which I'm waiting for contact on a couple networks that we're going to be getting affiliated with this year, which will invite evangelists, apostles, prophets, other pastors, other teachers coming in. Because, you know what, I don't have it all. I have enough to get us into trouble. But, you know, there's other men out there that have parts of the puzzle I do not have. And so it's time for us now to start gleaning from those other men that have something that God has given to them for us, so that we can grow and mature into the full stature. This is not talking about perfection. It's talking about with the kids. Are the kids in full stature when they're at the age of Trinity? No. Full stature is when they become into adulthood. And this is what the whole purpose of these gift ministries are for, is to help us grow up and become mature. For what purpose? So that we aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's not to confuse us. It's to set us in a place that, you know what, we can pick out a lie faster than we can pick out all the truth. Your spirit is just, man, you know what, there's something that person's saying. It's just not right. And you flip in through the scriptures, you missed it. And you have every right to question what's being shared from the pulpit. Like a Berean, we're not to take everything that's from the scriptures as being gospel. Because you know what? There's too many out there that smorgasbord it. Oh, let me take a look from column A and a little bit from column B. Oh, let me take some from over here and put that in there. And then we mix it all up. And that's the diet that the church has to eat. God has a perfect plan, and He has a perfect means in which to bring the church into this perfection for these end time days. You know, we're not going to send kids out to do battle. We're sending people, mature people, out to do this warfare. And you guys are going to understand that this is not fun and games anymore. This is life and death. And each and every one of us has a responsibility before the King to function in these areas that he's told us to go. And Jesus provided these things to ensure our success. You are successful already in Jesus Christ. But now he wants, according to that particular parable, he wants to ensure that you multiply what you've been given. You believe God wants to multiply what's in your hands? But it's going to take faith. It's going to take you coming out of your little comfort zone and begin to start stepping out in faith and believing God's word. I walk by faith, not by sight. This reality that we have here is not a reality according to the word of God, because Jesus told us his words are spirit and they're truth. They take dominion over the physical realm. That is the truth. Well, Pastor, you know, I never thought about it that way. Well, you got to start thinking that way, because you're a spiritual being living in a physical body. And when this physical body isn't operating properly, what are you feeding it? Are you feeding it the junk that the world is telling you? Oh, you need this medicine or that medicine. You need this operation or that operation. Oh, this is failing. That's not failing. And I mean, with my mother-in-law being in the hospital this week, we've been on this roller coaster stuff. And I just said, that's nonsense. Get her out of there. And this morning she calls and she says, oh, I'm feeling better. I think they're going to release me tomorrow. Okay, praise God. And I could tell you all the ailments that they're saying that she's got, which she doesn't have. But the longer she stays in there, she will have those elements, because spirits are operating there that we don't want to operate. We want to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness, disease, death are all from the devil. They're not from God. God wants you to understand you are an overcomer of this. You have the power dwelling within you through him who died for you to do this. Oh, I'm afraid. No, that's not. No, you are more powerful than fear. Love casts out fear. You're a person that's filled with love. And this is how we're going to do battle. We're going to love people. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to love them. And sometimes love is tough. Sometimes you got to cut people loose so that they can figure out for themselves that, you know what, God had a better plan. Sometimes you just got to cut yourself loose from all your bondages that you like to hold on to and deny that they're there. They're there. Cut them off. Get rid of them. How do you get rid of them? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That is a present perfect tense. You're already free, and you're continuing to be free, set free every day. Satan wants to keep you believing the lie because you don't see this manifestation immediately. These gift ministries are to help us take dominion over this world. Why? Why is it important that we take dominion over this world? Oh, thank you. Revelation 11, 15. Turn to Ephesians 3, verses 5 through 12. We now know that God has told us to occupy as a military church. God has told us what our marching orders are. God has also instructed us that he has given us gifts to enhance us into victory, over all victory, over every work of the devil. And now, this is his express purpose. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, which I have become a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by who? The church. To principalities and powers in heavenly places according to the eternal purposes which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith in him. What is God's purpose? What's God's purpose for all this? I mean, he was so fast to destroy Israel and start all over with Moses. Why didn't he with us? Do you understand what this is? Let me explain it to you. When man fell, God's plan of salvation already kicked in. He had told the angels, good and bad, that he was going to have a people that was going to worship him and love him for who he is. Right? That's what it says here. Principalities and powers. Not necessarily evil spirits only. We're talking about angels and demons now. Okay? And when Adam fell, the angels thought that God was going to destroy everything. Because Satan tried to take over the throne. And God cast him out. Did he destroy him? No, not yet. He will. My Bible tells me there comes time when great white throne of judgment that he will cast him in the lake of fire. Him, the false prophet, and the beast. Right? But that's after a 1,000-year reign that happens with the saints. When we reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I'm giving you end time eschatology in a real quick sense. God said he's going to have a people that love him. Adam fell. Adam knew God intimately. The angels thought, the demons thought, that God was going to destroy it all because that was rebellion against his authority. The difference between the rebellion of man and the rebellion of Satan was what? Not only Satan couldn't repent, Adam did not try to take the throne from God. Satan did. Satan forgot that he's a created being. And so God's plan was that the only way that this was going to happen was he was going to reconcile to have a people that would love him for who he is. And he chose the Jews. The Jews messed up. They thought it was Jesus in a box. They were going to keep them together. And that when God was going to destroy all the non-Jews, the Gentiles, that they would be the kings of this world. Because after all, they're God's chosen people. And as we saw, that the only plan that God had for them was to have Messiah come through them. To share the gospel. That all people were invited into this kingdom. He wasn't just the God of the Jews. He's the God of all people. Black, white, purple, green, Martian, Venusian, whatever. That's what this scripture is talking about. And Satan has done all he can to separate people from being one in Jesus Christ. We have black churches, we have white churches, we have oriental churches. And every once in a while we mix a few people in there that, you know, just to add a little color to it. But God's intent from the beginning was to have all people in one body, one church. All people. And the Jews missed it. That's why Paul went to the Gentiles. And let's face it. Was Adam a Jew or a Gentile? Why do you say that? Ethnicity. You're absolutely correct, Nolan. And so the Jew only came in through Abraham, through covenant, right? But now we have a better covenant. that our king cut with himself so that all we could do was praise him. And when you understand what he has saved us from, and what he has saved us to is far greater than what he has saved us from. People are going to go to hell. They're choosing that for themselves. And I've preached about sin. I've done all that. But you know what? You won't hear me preaching about sin hardly anymore. You're going to hear about how you can be used as a weapon in our Father's hand to figure out what your high calling is in Christ Jesus, and then go for it and become all that you possibly can in him, working together. Because as it says, you know, my job is to train you, to teach you, to help you become more and more successful. If you don't want to be successful, that's totally on you. That's why Joshua was so bent out of shape. And he said to him, he says, you know what, you guys can do whatever you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He knew. And if you read Joshua, you will understand this warfare and how to take the land. This is the purpose of God. Is that at the end, he will have a people from every nation, every tribe, every clan, every part of the world that will call out and that make Jesus king of their lives. And all those who do not will not be there forever and ever. Now, I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. I have family members that's not living the way they should live. And I'm sure you do too. We have friends, neighbors, that need to see the light of the gospel living in us. Not in a basket any longer. We need to take that basket off and put it up there and live for him. And I've heard some people say over the years, I could die for Jesus. That's too easy. Live for him. That's hard. I know. You hurt my feelings, Pastor, when you talk like that. Too bad. Too bad. The gloves are off. I'm going to start doing my job now, and that's train you up to do what you were created for. To be the best parents that you possibly can be. That your weapons out there, your little guys, are weapons in his hands. That you become weapons in his hands. The Bible says, blessed is a man who has many arrows in his quiver. Blessed is he who has many arrows in his quiver. I don't know about you, but when God pulls me out of his quiver, I want to go where he sends me. Hit the mark every time. And as a church, we're going to do this. We're going to learn what it means to grow up once and for all. We're going to learn how to minister love. Not a earthly, fleshly love, but a sacrificial love. And I know there's people just over the Christmas holidays that have begun to exercise this sacrificial love. And I know people who have so much more than they have, and they're complaining about what they got for Christmas. How sad. And we've lost it, church, but we're going to regain it. We're going to begin to do this warfare in love. It's not going to be prejudicial or any of that. It's going to be all God. And we're going to move by his Spirit. We're going to do what he tells us to do. And we're going to practice it right here. Worship team exhorted you to get up. That takes faith to get up. You know what? My knees hurt me too. And don't think they don't. But I'm moving by faith. I'm believing God's sustaining me. How big's your God? My God's big, and I'm going for the gusto. How about you? Do you want him as bad as you think you want him? Because he wants you so bad. He wants you so bad to give you not the world, to give you himself, who is a treasure beyond belief. Next week we're going to deal with why the preaching has had to take so long. Because the Bible says, you know, we can enhance His coming. Did you know that? We can hurry up Him coming to get us out of here. But it means we have to eliminate the mindset of escapism. Because that's what everybody's doing. Well, when the rapture comes, let's be about His business. Let us be so caught up in what He's doing and what He wants to do with us that when we get caught up, we won't even know the difference. Let us be like Enoch. Have such a deep, close relationship with the God who loves expressively, unashamedly, unconditionally, a people who are still at rebellion with Him. And He took Enoch, and he was no more. First sign of rapture. It took him, and he's no more. Amen? So what have we learned? We've learned the job of the church is to occupy, to do business. And the business that we're in is winning souls. Okay? We saw the mandate that our job is to go. They're not going to come. We got to go. Okay? We got to preach. That means we got to open up our mouth and share what God's doing. That means wipe away that fear. And believe me, you know what? You guys got such terrific testimonies. People would wonder what's going on. You have been transformed right before your eyes and you haven't even realized it. Baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them. Teaching them what? We either teach them good things or bad things. But if we teach them about God and the success that He promises to bring through obedience, what kind of glorious church is this going to be? The tsunami of the Spirit is about to erupt. I don't know about you, but I want to be surfing on it. I want to be at the crest of that wave on top. I don't want that tsunami to crush me under. I want God to use me. And I want Him to use streams. But you have to understand, the days of doing what you want to do are over. Now is the days of which we will comply to what the King wants and do what it is that He wants us to do. Without excuse. That's the truth of what we're going to. That's the truth of going deeper. You know, you can stay as an infant if you want. I want to grow up. I want to grow out of even this facility. And to tell you the truth, we have a 3-year plan to get out of here in 3 years and have our own building. Amen? Father, I thank You for Your vision, God. I thank You that You are going to use the church to reveal Your manifold wisdom to angels and demons because they don't understand salvation. They don't understand, God. And forgive us, God, because we trivialize our salvation. We take it for granted, God. But Your Son died on the cross for me and the world. God, You have such a greater plan for us than our just being so problem fixed, Lord. Help us, God. Forgive us, God. Empower us, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.